This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel reading, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be prepared to meet the bridegroom when he comes. And we pray this in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is, of course, the day of confirmation for these young people seated at the front of the church. Over the last year, the Word of God has been handed on to them. In our instructions on Friday afternoons, we've used the Holy Scriptures and also the Small Catechism in teaching the Christian faith. I want to start today with a question that comes from the Catechism in a section on Holy Communion. It starts with this question: what makes us ready for communion? Our Lord Jesus is coming to us in his holiness, in his purity, in his grace, in holy communion. What makes us ready? This is a good question, a practical, liturgical, Sunday-by-Sunday question for us to think about, as we also think about the sort of reading that we get in today's gospel, being prepared to meet our Lord Jesus as his kingdom comes, as he comes to reign. We as Christian people need to be prepared. How do we prepare to receive our Lord? Let's keep this question in mind as we attend now to the gospel reading. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. It's at the end of his ministry. He's speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to us. And he's giving us a parable so that we may be prepared to meet him as he comes. He says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. At some future time, there will be a comparison made with the kingdom of heaven and how it comes." These words tune us in to understand that we are thinking of God's ultimate rule, of the time when there will be a final judgment. Jesus is giving us words to prepare. He says, 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. Scholars aren't sure of what to make of the kind of ritual and ceremonies that surrounded weddings in Jesus' time. But I think we don't need to know these details to understand the text. If we simply get the picture and listen closely to the words, we will receive what we need to from the Lord. There are 10 bridesmaids, and the focus will be on the bridegroom as he comes. It's their job to be prepared, and so they have their lamps to meet him in the darkness, to be ready when he comes to welcome him to the banquet hall. Now, Jesus says in this parable that 5 of the bridesmaids are wise and 5 are foolish. Now, I've heard this sort of distinction earlier in Matthew's gospel. If you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon that Jesus told his disciples, you will know that the distinction between the wise and the foolish is the distinction between those who hear the words of the Lord and don't act. They are the foolish. And those who hear the words of the Lord Jesus and act on them. These are the two paths. So we're going to understand that wisdom means receiving Jesus' teaching and acting on it. Keep that in mind as the parable goes on. What happens next is a bit unexpected, you could say. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. They have the means of giving light to the lamps themselves. But the wise are prepared, the text says, Jesus says, with oil. Now, what is this oil that Jesus is talking about? If you have a look at the gospel, it does not say. It's a bit like the parable of the wedding banquet where the fellow does not have his garment and he's thrown out. There, neither do we learn what the garment is. Here we don't know what the oil is. We need to think about think about it in terms of our own lives, and I believe come to our own conclusions on this point. We do know, however, that hearing Jesus' words and acting on them makes us wise or reveals the wisdom that God has given to us. So however we think about the oil, we know that it is related to Jesus' word and acting on Jesus' words. Now, although there is a distinction between the wise and the foolish, they are joined together as they wait for the bridegroom. Listen to what the text says. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. There is a delay. The wise and the foolish together become drowsy. They sleep. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus talked about the wise and the foolish building on sand or on the rock, both of those groups faced storms. Here, both of the people, wise and foolish, they faced drowsiness and sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The focus now moves off the bridesmaids, really onto the bridegroom. There's a shout in the darkness at midnight. The bridegroom is coming. Get ready to meet him. And the wise and the foolish are roused from sleep and take their lamps, trimming them to prepare them to give light to the bridegroom as he comes. But then there is a twist. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. Now, many Christians, when they hear this, are a bit disturbed by it. Aren't we meant to share as God's people? And if we think about the goods that we have, we'll maintain this mindset. But remember, in the parable, the focus is on welcoming the bridegroom. Will there be light for him when he comes? Or will there be darkness? The oil needs to be there to provide the light. The bridegroom is coming. This is not about sharing, but about welcoming. About welcoming the bridegroom and his arrival. While they went to buy it, the foolish bridesmaids went to buy the oil. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The wise with their oil keep their lamps alight. The bridegroom comes, and he is welcomed by them. He leads them into the wedding banquet, and the door is shut. This is a picture of finality, of judgment. On the one hand, in the wedding banquet is a celebration to which the bridesmaids were invited. Outside, where the foolish are, is darkness and exclusion. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Here is the word of judgment of the bridegroom to the foolish, the word of judgment of the Lord to those who do not trust. We've heard this sort of language before in Matthew's gospel, again in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said to his disciples, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Only the one who hears the words of the Lord and acts upon them. And then Jesus draws the conclusion to his parable. Keep awake, therefore. Be alert, therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour. These are the words that Jesus has given to us. So indeed we may be alert when he comes to us at whatever hour that is. A parable given to us by the Lord that has power to keep us alert spiritually, to give us wisdom to receive our Lord as he comes to us. Now, I want to come back to how I opened this sermon, thinking about what it means to be ready to receive Holy Communion. Because this is the same question that we ask week by week as we come here. as we come to church. We are coming in the wisdom that God has given us to meet the bridegroom who is near, who comes with his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. In the small catechism, do you remember? How are we ready? What makes us ready to receive our Lord? Well, listen to this modern translation. There are various ways of getting ready for Holy Communion, like going without food, fasting. But we are really ready when we believe the words of Jesus, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." If we don't believe these words, we are not ready. When he says, "for you," he wants us to believe him. The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent. So we hear from the words of our Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, God's work is belief, and this is what makes us ready. Trusting our Lord Jesus that he has gifts to give us that fill us with life. There are many messages we could trust in our lives, but the ultimate word of wisdom comes from him who lives, Jesus the Lord. He wants you to trust that your sins are forgiven. Believe in him. Prepare yourself to meet him by trusting his words. He wants you to trust that you have life with him. This is the word of the Lord to you. Believe in him. Be prepared to meet him. He wants you to trust that here in this congregation and the worldwide church, you have a great family given to you by God where you learn the lessons of Christian love. Believe in him. Trust him. He wants you to be people who intercede for others, for all people. Keep his words. Believe him. This is the will of the Lord for you, and this is what makes you prepared. Our Lord Jesus who speaks is the one who reveals to us God. God revealed to us, especially in his suffering love. Listen to the small catechism again on the Lord Jesus. Jesus rescued me when I was lost and sentenced to death. He set me free from my sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. It cost him more than gold or silver. It cost him his life. Even though he was holy and innocent, he suffered and died for me. Jesus did this so that I can belong to him and he can rule over me as my king, so God's kingdom can come into my life and into the life of the church. Now, young people about to be confirmed, you'll be asked, as baptized children, do you intend to listen to the preaching of God's word and to receive the supper of the Lord? It's God's word that gives us faith, that takes our attention away from ourselves onto God. If you want to live by faith, receive the gifts that God gives. It's his word that has power to give you life, to give you preparedness for meeting your Lord Jesus. And it's a lifelong gift of faith that you are on. And you're not alone in this. We together, Sunday by Sunday, meet here at Bethlehem to listen to the preaching of God's word, to receive the supper of the Lord, to be prepared to meet our Lord Jesus as he comes to reign in his glory. This is God's work for us. And it brings us together in a community where we forgive one another, where we show love for one another, and where we encourage each other in the life of faith. We all make our individual profession of faith, but we do so as brothers and sisters in the family of God. What makes us ready to receive our Lord Jesus? Anything that we can do by our own strength? No, the word of God that brings us to faith, so that we can trust in the Lord Jesus and the gifts that he brings, so that we can stand on our feet and proclaim the goodness of God, so that we can see the power of the resurrection of Christ and our life together in this congregation. Well, may God grant it to us all for Jesus' sake. Amen.